Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Thomas Daly has created something truly special. Podcasts that highlight people who do not hog the historical limelight are not unique, though podcasts that have the detail that Thomas lavishes upon his subject truly are a one-off though. If you're into reading weighty tomes, this is the best and closest podcast that apes that format. Resplendent with facts, nuance, colour and insight, American Biography is probably one of the most underrated historical shows of the genre. Thomas's first subject for inquiry and dissection is the influential John Marshall, a truly epic figure who shaped the history and the course of the United States profoundly in ways that many presidents could only have hoped to in the preceding 200 years since the colonies got their independence. Here is a man, an original action man, a founding superhero who strives war, diplomacy, politics and law in a way that is impossible in today's world. To understand the world that created such a man, I spoke to Thomas Daly about his first American biography.
Thomas, why have we exchanged seats this week?
Well, Royfield, that's because for the month of February, I am the Agora Podcaster of the Month.
Woohoo! Fanfare.
I made it.
A peal of trumpets, a roll of drum rolls, or whatever what the expression is. Your show is incredibly detailed. It's American Biography. Tell us a little bit about American Biography.
Well, American Biography is it's a show that is about the history of the United States, but I try to do it a little differently. I just don't want to do the chronological retelling. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to tell the story of the United States from the point of view of some of its participants. And I, when I was first conceiving it, I thought it would be interesting not to do George Washington, not to do Abraham Lincoln, not to do FDR.
Are you taking a pot shot at me and my 10 American presidents there?
No, not at all. But you do it so well, then there would really be no room for someone like me. But I thought it would be interesting to do people who were not obscure, but were major players and just have kind of fallen off the mainstream consciousness. And that's how I landed on my first subject, John Marshall.
Okay, so for people that aren't that deeply versed in American history, who was John Marshall?
John Marshall was not the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, as many people who do remember him might incorrectly believe. He was the fourth Chief Justice of the United States, but was the one most directly responsible for making and shaping that branch of the U.S. government into one that was truly independent and sort of the powerhouse that it is today.
Okay. All right. So you've set up John Marshall for us. Now set up exactly how the shows are structured, because you're up to what, show 16 at the moment, if we take out the series introduction, and mm-hmm. you're still talking about John Marshall.
Yeah, that's an organic phenomenon. I had originally thought I would do, 10 to maybe 15 tops episodes for any given life. And, well, it turned out that there was a lot more about John Marshall than I had known when I was first getting into it. You know, for instance, he was a Revolutionary War veteran who was at Valley Forge. So I couldn't leave something like that out. He was a delegate at the Virginia Constitutional Ratifying Convention. I couldn't leave something like that out. He was a diplomatic delegate to France who was part of the famous XYZ affair. I couldn't leave that out. The more I read about him, the less I felt that I could judiciously cut out of his story to try to fit it into my preconceived, you know, 10 to 15 episode arc. Yeah, so here I am. Episode 16 is going to come up. It's going to be the second part of XYZ. Zach Twomley is going to be joining me. And John Marshall is about 45 years old after 15 episodes.
So how many more do you think you have to do before you go on to your next subject? And then where do you draw the line in terms of taking, you know, passing over on historical detail?
Well, it's going to probably be maybe 3 to 5 episodes before he gets to the Supreme Court, because he also happens to become Secretary of State before he's put on the Supreme Court by President John Adams. So there's a couple more things to talk about. I draw the line, and I'm going to have to draw the line when he's on the court, because I don't want American Biography to become a history of the Supreme Court. So I'm probably going to have to make some structural decisions about how I'm going to review some of the major decisions, you know, that he was involved in without getting into the tedium that comes before the court. And also keep an eye on maintaining a focus on his personal life as well, which is very interesting and somewhat tragic and definitely worth keeping tabs on.
So give us a little bit of a taste about the tragedy that he had in his personal life. Give us a little bit of a taste of the man.
I've talked about some of his marital issues here and there, but they get much worse. And just for people who haven't listened to the first 15 episodes, John Marshall loved his wife dearly, but she became increasingly ill over time. There seems to have been some type of psychosomatic illness where she became a recluse and an invalid over time, where people were forced to tiptoe around his house, or it would for some reason cause her excruciating pain. You know, so he was this great gregarious man who loved a good dinner party, but you know, his wife couldn't stand noise. And you know, as Chief Justice, there's stories of you know, the dogs of Richmond, you know, wild dogs in Richmond running around barking, and him in the streets at midnight, 2 a.m., trying to quiet them in order to help his wife feel well. You know, so it's that sort of thing that I consider very tragic.
So you said John Marshall wasn't the first Chief Justice, but why, just in broad terms, without, you know, spoiling future shows, why is his tenure there so important in shaping American history?
Firstly, that would probably be because he was there for over 30 years in that position. He goes to the court in 1800. So the American government was 12 years old at that point and had already gone through 3 chief justices. John Jay had been the first, and he resigned to become governor of New York, for instance. So that's sort of the thing. It's not seen as the lifetime post that it would become. Most significantly, John Marshall was involved in the Marbury versus Madison ruling, which I'm going to go into in great detail in a future episode, because it's probably the greatest individual case in American jurisprudence. It's a case where the Supreme Court under John Marshall asserts for itself the right of judicial review, which a lot of people take for granted, is not actually written into the Constitution. It's written into the decision that Marshall penned.
Okay. So Obviously, Thomas, knowing you a little, I know you're a man of detail. Tell us a little bit about your sources. Where are you kind of hoovering up this information about John Marshall, you know, your specific folks of interest now? And how exactly do you work and plot out your shows?
Well, covering American history, I'm very lucky. You know, I know a lot of podcasters who are always, you know, searching for very arcane, very ancient texts that need to be translated into modern English. Steve Guerra is one who comes to mind. He's the history of the papacy, and he's always looking for some obscure Latin text. But for American history, it's already in English. And when it comes to the founding fathers, they were all prolific letter writers. And Americans have done a pretty decent job in preserving a lot of their correspondence, and a lot of it's available for free, provided by different foundations, and that can be gotten online. My main source that I'm using is a biography by Gene Smith, John Marshall, Definer of the Nation, and that helps just as a basic thing, keep the timeline straight. I'm also using a 19th century, slightly Victorian book by a American scholar named Albert Beveridge, who has this great big 3-volume Life of John Marshall, and his prose is great, and I really enjoy reading that, because the Victorians just sort of had a way with words. And I use Victorian, obviously, that's a British term, but you know, the late 19th century, you know, had a transatlantic flair.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Let's see, I'm also using some more modern scholars. And of course, John Marshall himself was a prolific letter writer. And, you know, I've even been able to access some transcripts from the Virginia House of Delegates. You know, and I did an episode on the ratifying convention for the U.S. Constitution in Virginia. All the proceedings were recorded, so I was able to get the speeches of John Marshall himself. So whenever you're able to use primary sources, that's preferable. And whenever I can let the character speak in his own words, I like to do that.
So you're obviously going through John Marshall's life with a fine comb, so to speak. Are you balanced? Are you an advocate for him? Do you kind of show and paint his flaws very vividly? Where do you stand in terms of, you know, the polemic on John Marshall?
I try to be objective as much as objectivity is humanly possible. You know, I've come to like John Marshall through studying him. He's definitely the kind of man who you could see having a good time with if you were to find yourself at a tavern, particularly when he's juxtaposed with his cousin Thomas Jefferson, who I think everyone can recognize is absolutely brilliant, but that might get boring as you got into a dinner party with, after the initial awe of his genius wore off. There's a great deal of tension between those two, and I find that Jefferson keeps coming off as less than John Marshall.
Give us an example.
I feel that Jefferson was very much, how do I put this? He was very chippy. He's very thin-skinned. He was kind of that high school kid who would, you know, say something nice to you, and as soon as you walked away, start talking trash about you. He was a person who couldn't separate politics from the personal, where Marshall was. Some of his best friends were Republicans, which not to be confused with the modern GOP, the Jeffersonian Republicans. And he himself was a Federalist, but, you know, he also had a social club in Richmond that wasn't partisan, where everyone got together on Saturdays and had a giant barbecue and threw the equivalent to horseshoes, for those who know that backyard game. And he was a member of that club for, you know, 40 years. And he's that type. He could argue with you on Monday, but on Saturday he could have a barbecue with you. And I find that very endearing.
Sounds a little bit like Antonin Scalia then.
Yeah. I mean, so Scalia, you know, not to get on a tangent, these people, you know, if you're not on their ideological bandwagon, you know, there's always a rush to demonize. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with a lot of Scalia's jurisprudence, but he apparently had this rather touching and beautiful friendship with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is one of the most liberal justices on the Supreme Court. And, you know, these people are human beings. No one is black or white in the sense that everyone's a bit of gray. I mean, no one's all one thing. And that's what I try to remember when I look at these historical characters, is we have a tendency to want to make them into marble statues, but they're not. They're people. You know, they have flaws themselves. Sometimes they have what we could view as ulterior motives, but maybe it's not even conscious to them. And, you know, we walk around with these same things in our head. You know, there's things I do that I'm not quite sure why I do them. Mm. You know, and that infuriates my wife. But there's nothing different about us, the modern people, that we can't see in our historical forebears.
So John Marshall is—he helped make sure that kind of third branch of government was going to be independent. He has a towering kind of place in American history, and definitely in early American history. And you're telling me he's an exciting read as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. His life has really been a series of adventures thus far. It's really been a scale and scope that I had not expected.
So who's next? Who are we going to have next in American biography?
I guess this is kind of an announcement. I haven't broached the topic with my listeners previously, but I've settled on, and I'm 99% sure, I've settled on Henry Clay, the great pacificator, the Western Star. He was, again, a man who had a long career in government spanning decades. But this man was in the legislature. He was Speaker of the House, and he revolutionized that position. Again, a diplomat, a senator, a three-time failed presidential candidate who crossed swords with Andrew Jackson and lost, but someone who was very impactful on the course of the United States history between 1800 and 1850, really.
Wow. And so I'm taking it then that if the show's called American Biography, everyone who you're going to cover is most probably going to be an American.
Yeah, certainly an American. And I'm going to be a little cagey, and I'm not making any commitments. But, you know, there is a whole nother America, and maybe one day I might do one of South America's distinguished citizens, but not going to commit to that right now.
So are you starting to, I know you, relatively speaking, you only just started the series and you've got some 16, 17 shows. But have you got half an eye on what you might do next, or will American Biography just run and run?
I'm actually coming up on my one-year anniversary, my podiversary.
Ah.
So, yeah, my baby's growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I see it being an ongoing project. You know, I have Clay coming up. I have a couple ideas for people, you know, after them into the 20th century. So, I mean, if it's taken me a year to do half the life of John Marshall, you know, I have a rather full schedule going forward. I guess if I were to do a different podcast, you know, I would really nerd out, and I have half an eye and half a mind towards doing a J.R.R. Tolkien podcast about that world of Middle Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a completely different audience.
Wouldn't it just? Thomas Daly, thank you for being on The Exchange.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, and very interesting to be on the other side of this.
Well, I hope I did the position proud.
Well, I'm proud of you, Royfield.
Yay! Cool. So, of course, you can go and check out Thomas's great podcast by either going onto iTunes or onto Acast, and it's where it is called American Biography. Of course, you can find it on social media. You can find it on Twitter. You can find a very kind of active Facebook group on, guess where, Facebook. One way of which you can really help the network and specific shows is by going onto iTunes and writing a review. It's an incredibly important and useful way that means that our shows, the hard work of the podcasters, is get some kind of noteworthy expression, and so that other new listeners can actually find it. So we implore you to go onto iTunes today and write a review for American Biography after you've given it a good listen and you realise the value of Thomas's work. We also do have a website, which is Agora Podcast Network, where you can see the other shows that are part of the stable. See you all next month, where Thomas will be where I am, and he will be speaking to David Crowther about the history of England, that Juggernaut podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.